This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Everybody's gone surfing USA.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from the coastal haven of Pacifica, California. It's a small oceanfront community, less than a 20-minute drive from downtown San Francisco, but it's a distinctly different kickback seaside town. Come along and join me for a visit with Pacifica City Council member Mike O'Neill. Afterwards, we'll visit with innkeeper Ella Patel at the new Anchor Inn with panoramic vistas of the Pacific Ocean. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Pacifica, California. Come along and join us for a conversation with Mike O'Neill. He's the city councilman. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So you're a born and bred San Franciscan, but somehow you came across the border and moved down here to Pacifica.
Right. I'm third generation San Franciscan. And when I went to buy a house, got older, I couldn't afford San Francisco, so I decided to move down here to Pacifica, where I was working at a bank and actually met my wife here and raised my kids here. So I've been Pacifica resident for about 30 years, more than I was in San Francisco.
What's really fascinating to me about Pacifica, I fly in and out of SFO all the time, and I have airplane shots out of the window seat where in the one frame you can see the runway of SFO, and in the other side of the picture you can see the beaches of Pacifica. That's how close you are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are only about 15, 20 minutes from the terminals in San Francisco Airport, pretty much a direct route, and we are very accessible from my house to Oracle Park. Downtown San Francisco is 15 minutes for stoplight.
And yet, here's the paradox. Maybe you, but I know for myself, it astounds me the number of people I meet. You mentioned Pacifica, and they kind of go glazed over, not knowing where it is.
Oh, yeah.
Have you encountered that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, Pacifica is off to the ocean side of San Francisco Bay. We are about 8 miles long, and we are basically the gateway to the San Mateo County coast and to Highway 1 going down to Santa Cruz or southern parts of California. And it's a unique town. It was 8 hamlets, they called them, and they're basically like 8 valleys that merged into one town called Pacifica. And interesting enough, the name Pacifica comes from Pacific, which is a Spanish word for peace. And longtime city emblem was the fair, 1939 World's Fair symbol of all the nationalities in the Pacific, the islanders, Japanese, Asians, etc., all in one statue. And that statue is called Pacifica.
So Pacifica dates from development-wise and...
Well, it all depends what you call development. When the Ocean Shore Railroad was being built, coming out of San Francisco, trying to go all the way down to Santa Cruz, that was in the early 1920s. If you go to the actual date of incorporation, we just had our 60th anniversary a couple years ago, so it was in the late 1950s that we became a city of Pacifica, where the 8 hamlets joined together to form one city.
So there was another boom of people moving here post-World War II, correct?
Just, you know, the World War II veterans coming back, the growth of the San Francisco shipyards and Oakland Naval Port, et cetera, SFO, all of that was in post-World War II, and that's when Pacifica had most of the housing stock was built in the early 1960s.
To me, Pacifica is symbolic of a classic beach town.
Yes.
With the pier and all the different related businesses, seafood and whatnot. Talk to us about that.
Well, you come to Pacifica and a lot of people take and they come over Highway 1. And then that's where they see Pacifica. Okay, it stretches 8 miles down the coast, goes down to Pedro Point. And people instantly see the ocean, the beach, and it's like their blood pressure level goes down 10 points because it's quiet, idyllic. We have a lot of recreational opportunities here. We're the only municipal fishing pier between San Francisco and Santa Cruz. And you go there and people have caught salmon, striped bass. They go crabbing during crab season. And that's the pier. But then they also, we are part of one of the largest, if not maybe the largest urban park in the United States, the Golden Gate National Recreation Area.
That touches you?
Yes. We're in the same park as Muir Woods up in Marin County.
Very interesting.
So it goes all the way down there to Rancho del Coral. And it's part of Montera Mountain. And Montera Mountain is like part of the backbone of the range that goes down the San Francisco Peninsula. Mm-hmm. But we have all kinds of hiking. We have mountain biking. We have surfing. We actually have in late August, early September, there's usually a dog surfing contest
here. I've heard about that.
Yes.
Where the doggies actually love to surf and they're good at it.
Yes, they actually, and it's filmed, and we have like 3,000-4,000 people come to Lindemar Beach and go surfing there. And we're not far from where Mavericks is held, the surfing contest, the international one. So we have a lot of the hiking, biking, fishing. Also, it's a great place to raise families too. A lot of people were 15 minutes from SFO and about 20 minutes from downtown San Francisco.
So a lot of people work in the city that live here.
Well, actually, a lot of them work down for Genentech. So the San Francisco's a job center, right?
Sure.
Okay,
but Silicon Valley,
right? Facebook, Google, mm-hmm. Genentech. So we're biotech and high tech mixture here.
Tell us a little bit more about Pacifica as a destination. Being a beach town, I would assume you'd have hotels and inns and B&Bs.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of Airbnbs here. We also have hotels that I don't think you could get any closer to the ocean than ours. You're talking maybe 20 feet away from the ocean. Mm-hmm. We have hotels that you could walk to GGNRA, the national park, and go for a hike at Maury Point, where they actually filmed the old cult movie in the 70s, Harold and Maude.
Oh, yeah, where they go off the cliff.
Yes, they filmed House of Sand and Fog here in Pacifica. So you've got an ocean where literally you open the door. I know people that have come here on weekends just to leave the window open to hear the ocean waves as they crash. And during the summer, if you're from the Central Valley, you can go there. It's 107 in the Central Valley. Come to Pacifica, it's 70. That's when we have some softball tournaments and stuff for organized youth sports, etc.
Like a lot of the coast, you get your foggy days.
Oh, we get our foggy days.
The Valley people love.
Oh, yes, yes. But it's nice. It's a great place to come and visit. The hotels are a lot cheaper than they are in San Francisco. Yet you can go up to the city of San Francisco and then come down here and relax, go for a hike, go for a walk, eat one of the famous crab sandwiches at one of our local restaurants, Nick's, independently owned restaurant, family owned.
That's been there forever, right?
It's been there. It opened up as a hot dog stand, and it's been there for something like 70, 80 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even their signage today is like classic 50s.
You know? Oh, yeah. Same there. It's kind of like a time warp.
It
almost
is. Yeah. Movie set.
Oh, yeah. And then there's other restaurants, Moonraker and other hotels that are there.
What's the hotel where the Moonraker is?
Let's see, the Lighthouse Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stayed there years ago, and like you're talking about the waves, I don't know what was going on, but the waves literally were breaking on the front patio there.
Oh, they've actually come in and broke the windows. The waves are so strong. They've taken in, you know, they actually parked their food truck in front of the windows to break the waves so it doesn't break the windows sometimes.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
From an environmental standpoint, I know that Pacifica has been in national news, and it has to do with sea level rise.
Right. And sea level rise, it's a big challenge for a lot of coastal cities. Mm-hmm. The biggest issue is the Coastal Commission has a one-size-fits-all attitude that, you know, you can't do any sort of protection or development of housing, but we've had houses that have been built here since some of them were cottages from the Ocean Shore Railroad in the 1920s. And those are behind a seawall, which needs to be repaired. But like in Crescent City, where sea level is actually lowering because of the tectonic plates going underneath each other, a one size fits all doesn't really work.
There's a friend of mine that comes up here, and he has a friend. They live in this weird little enclave community that you basically have to hike down to.
Ah, Shelter Cove.
Yeah, tell us about Shelter Cove. You want to talk about the best-kept secret area and the whole history and how it's so different. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Shelter Cove is a little enclave that in the 1980s, the storm washed out the road to get there. So they're basically the only way to go up to and from Shelter Cove is the steep stairs down a hillside of about 200 steps.
And that's how they pack in and pack out everything, right?
Everything. And
including furniture?
Including furniture, wash machines, dryers, appliances, whatever.
There is no community anywhere on the California coast like that.
No, and it's a private beach, basically. It's all owned by one family that rents the houses out, and we just recently...
How many people live down there, roughly?
There's 13 houses, so to be honest, I don't know how many people, but I would imagine somewhere around 30.
Sure.
You know, we actually just had one lady that lived to be over 100 that climbed those steps all the time, and she just recently passed away, and probably she lived so long because of the workout she got to go to the grocery store.
How cool.
Yeah.
But that's a story you never hear about. It's really literally under the radar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One thing that's interesting, Pacifica is such a nice place to live that we've had the Ohlone Indians have lived here over 3,000 years. And what's interesting is there's a site where there was an Ohlone Indian village that has an adobe, the oldest building in San Mateo County, Sanchez Adobe, who had been mayor of San Francisco.
Wow.
And he grew a lot of his produce, which he brought up to San Francisco, from Pacifica. And way back when, Pacifica at one point grew 95% of the artichokes for the United States here in Pacifica.
Amazing. Any commercial agricultural operations still here?
We have a couple orchid farms. We have one that's like an orchid resort where your orchid's sick, you can bring them there for rehabilitation.
An orchid hospital.
Yes, an orchid hospital. And then we have another place, Sheldon's Nursery, which is right off Highway 1. That's an orchid place that you can go and purchase orchids and stuff. They're all in greenhouses because salt air does kind of, you know, because we are so close. Mm-hmm. But it does take, and I guess it works for orchids. I'm not that familiar with how to grow them, but I guess that's how it works.
So this would be an orchid fan's destination for sure.
Right. Yeah. But we also have a golf course. It's owned by the city of San Francisco, Sharp Park Golf Course, and it was designed by Alistair McKenzie, the same gentleman that designed Pebble Beach.
Wow.
So we take and have a very good golf course, municipal golf course, so it's cheaper to play at than a lot of other places.
So a poor man's Pebble Beach.
Yes, poor man's Pebble Beach. That's actually what it's been called. You must have read the marketing literature. Yes, poor man's Pebble Beach. Uh-huh. And we're making an effort to have a shopping destination here and some restaurants and to kind of keep it going. But if you like to hike, if you like to peace and quiet, I know some people who come here just to write their book or whatever because they can focus. But you still want to go see Coit Tower or ride a cable car, you're 15 minutes away because we even have you can get to a BART station here to go anywhere in the Bay Area.
Or catch a ball game.
Or catch a ball game at the Giants or the 49ers.
That's really cool. Talk about politics. You're on the city council.
Mm-hmm.
What are your biggest challenges? What are the issues that are faced here in Pacifica?
I've been in city council now about 9 years, and was on the school board prior to that. The biggest challenges we're facing is like what a lot of California cities are, is the past year, this is being taped in 2021, so we all know what COVID has been doing, wrecking havoc with different cities. Pacifica is actually fairly resilient because a lot of our tax revenue, sales tax, comes from gas tax, grocery stores, etc. So it's kind of people still need to buy it.
Wouldn't your hotel tax be a big revenue source?
Yes, our transit occupancy tax is a big revenue source, but it's taken a hit the year. We have our challenges because we are a bedroom community. We supply a lot of the workers to Silicon Valley, so we don't have the tax base, the business, commercial tax base that a lot of other cities have. And we're kind of off the beaten path. I mean, there's basically Highway 1 to get in and maybe a couple ancillary roads, but we don't have a major highway that goes through Pacifica. It's a state highway, four lanes, and it's kind of a relaxing. We have one of the valleys, which is actually almost an arboretum. A guy came in there and planted all these different kinds of trees, and people want that kind of lifestyle here in Pacifica. The roads are rather rustic, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So you don't drive fast.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And some of them need paving real bad and stuff and everything. But it's also a quaint town that mm-hmm. people like. I mean, people have been here two, three generations, you know, four generations. Mm-hmm. People move here. They don't really leave. But we are the fifth largest city in San Mateo County.
Some of the other issues that you're dealing with in the here and now as a city councilman?
A lot of the same issues that every city's dealing with. Homelessness is an issue. Education for kids with the, you know, current restrictions that are being put on there. Traffic is still an issue sometimes, especially on a weekend. We're dealing with just the urban planning and the housing affordability. We used to be one of the cheapest places to buy a house on the peninsula, and now we're probably in the lower end, but we're still not really affordable. So, I mean, we were the place that I can show you the building that the madams up in San Francisco used to send the ladies for a break for vacation.
R&R
here. They came. We were a tourist serving destination even then.
That's funny. So if you want to get a city councilman or a mayor to roll their eyes, mention the word potholes.
Potholes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Get more emails about that than anything. You know, fix the potholes and stuff.
So that really would be even a more of an ongoing issue for you guys is just maintaining the roads, partly because of the environment.
Yes, yes, yes. And actually, in an oxymoron, you know, Pacifica is an environmental community. But the more electric vehicles you have, the less money you have to fix roads because a gas tax is what pays to pave the roads. So there's less and less gas tax, so therefore less money to pave the roads.
Unintended consequences.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, so I don't know how that's powers higher and public officials higher than me have to decide how that's going to work.
Any other issues closest to your heart, most frustrating challenges?
I think the politics of the time at the national level is percolating down to the local level. And I just wish that people, you know, would take Pacifica means peace. And I wish people would kind of lurk to work better together in solving the problems, because I think you can find a middle ground, you know, sea level rise, maybe instead of a blanket policy, there's triggers that mean if this happens, this happens, you know, type of thing. I think people that when the state comes out with housing goals, which I think are important, that they also look at Pacifica. 60% of our land is dedicated open space, either county park, city park, or federal park. And 30% is with the coastal zone. That doesn't give us a lot of room to build that housing, you know. This was the site, actually, where Portola discovered San Francisco Bay is in Pacifica.
Oh, wow.
Sweeney Ridge. It's part of the GGNRA.
So he went up on top there and looked down and went,
And discovered San Francisco Bay because prior to that, the sailing was best during the summer. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Tom, you and I mentioned, the bay is covered by and hidden by the fog in the summer. So nobody ever saw the bay. But when he did a land-based expedition, he went to the top with the help of the Ohlone Indians and looked down and saw San Francisco Bay, which is like the biggest harbor, deepest harbor on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of history here. If you like history and you get with Sweeney Ridge, you'd get hiking and combined with your...
You have a history museum?
We have a history museum. It's the Little Brown Church. It has some artifacts there from the Ohlone Indians. It has one of the original working models for the Pacifica statue from the 1939 World's Fair, which is actually where they built Treasure Island. One of the curiosities here in Pacifica that you could see, it's not really open to the public, occasionally it is Sam's Castle. One of the major investors, president or lawyer of the Ocean Shore Railroad, which was the railroad that left San Francisco going to Santa Cruz. In the 1906 earthquake, his wife did not like being in San Francisco because the house was damaged. So she wanted to move out of the town. So he moved to Pacifica. And he built her a replica of the castle she grew up in Scotland. His name was Henry McCloskey. His grandson, Pete McCloskey, was a congressman from San Mateo County here and was the only first Republican to actually come out against the Vietnam War with Richard Nixon. And you go there, and he has a lot of artifacts because he used to own some movie theaters.
Still around?
He passed away.
Okay.
McCloskey passed away. He died like in the early 20s or 30s.
The grandson.
The grandson is still around, yes. Okay. Pete McCloskey's still alive. But the house has a quite storied history. It was a speakeasy. It was an abortion mill. It was a Coast Guard watchtower during World War II with the patrol dogs and stuff. And it was a family home for the four sons of Pete McCloskey. And now there's some movie artifacts in there from different movies. I know they have the cloak from Clark Gable that he wore in one of his movies there.
And they have tours?
Periodically, there's tours, fundraise. It's owned by a nonprofit, and they let nonprofits have their fundraising there. But you can definitely go see the outside. You can go look through there, and it's an interesting artifact with a great view top of that hill of the Pacific Ocean. And there's some World War II bunkers from when this was the coastal defense. It's a great place to raise a family. I've raised mine here, and it's a great place to visit.
Mike O'Neill, City Councilman, City of Pacifica. What a pleasure to spend the morning with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Tom. And I want to welcome and invite everybody to come see my town, Pacifica.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Pacifica, California. Right now, we're with Ella Patel, who's the manager at a brand new inn called the Anchor Inn in Pacifica, up on a hillside. Hi, Ella.
Hello, how are you?
Cool. When did you guys open up? Not that long ago.
No, we opened around December of 2020.
And this is a different inn. It's a boutique place. It's small. There's, what, four units?
It's a boutique, and it's four independent cottages or bungalows, villas, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, and they're definitely not attached.
They're definitely not attached.
Yeah, you have a lot of space in between each little house, little cottage.
Yes, and everybody has their own private parking spot. It's kind of like walking into your own tiny home.
Yeah, it is, and it's not tiny.
It's not tiny.
No.
Not at all.
It's, what, 600 square feet?
They range from about 450 to 600 square feet.
And then you have the panoramic floor-to-ceiling overlooking the Pacific down below.
Yep, absolutely, overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
So since you're pretty new, you're building a clientele right now. What sort of people come here from around the world or around the California coast? Who has found you so far?
So the past year has been a little bit different because when we first opened, we had people from different countries and different states and stuff. And then once the pandemic hit, most of our clientele was within like a 500-mile radius.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have to shut down, or you were able to keep going?
We kept going because we do have a unique situation here where, you know, it's very COVID friendly, as they call it, because you don't have to see anyone really, including myself, and it's and it's self-check-in, so we can interact via the phone.
So you're kind of a perfect world.
Considering the circumstances, I think we were very well situated.
Yeah, because if you had one main lodge and every unit was in that main lodge, you might have had to shut down.
Most definitely, we would have had to shut down for safety.
And how do people find you? Web search? They're looking Pacifica?
We are listed on Airbnb, on bookings.com. I have my own website, anchorandhotels.com. And here recently, I was approached by Plum Guide, which is more international, and they are kind of like Michelin rated. They come to you if they want you on their website, so they came, sent out their photographers, and hopefully when we get more international travelers, we will attract some of those people as well.
That's cool. And the best case scenarios that people are projecting in the health industry is that within the next 6 months or so, we might pretty well open up.
Well, you know, I welcome that for sure. And myself and all of my colleagues in town and outside of town, we're very excited to see this chapter behind us.
Tell us a little bit more about some of the unique, distinctive characters.
They are all independent. They have their own parking, which is like right in front. It's self-check-in, so you just punch in your code. Every code is different. This is a question I get asked by many customers, that does anybody else have the same code?
Right.
The answer is no. It gets changed every single time. You have concrete floors, which...
And it has radiant heat.
Radiant heat.
I love that. I'm walking around in my socks.
It's easy to clean. The windows are from bottom to top, and so there's a lot of sunlight that comes in. Perfect for business travelers. Because it also is fully stocked with a kitchen, living room, and a bedroom.
Full kitchen, yeah.
Right, full kitchen.
So do you have people that come and stay for 2, 3, 4 days?
Or? Absolutely. Uh-huh. We have people that stay anywhere from 1 day, 2 days to 3 weeks, you know. We had some corporate travelers that needed a place that they needed to come out here and work, and they actually worked from here.
That's really cool. Pacifica is a distinctive, unique town in that it's stretched out for a great distance along the seashore. It's not just clustered like a typical town.
If I'm going to go to any ocean area or coastline in the Bay Area, I'm going to pick Pacifica. And for a variety of reasons. One, it's close to San Francisco.
Oh, it's so close.
20 minutes.
10 miles to the airport.
10 miles to the airport. Another 8 miles to Half Moon Bay. It's just close to everything, including Santa Clara, San Jose, Stanford. All of that stuff is super close, but you get to come into this community, which is actually a wonderful community, and you can just walk to the beach and relax.
You know, and the funniest thing, I love Pacifica. It is so cute. It is so dramatic, the coastline and the beach.
Kind of like a hidden gem. When they say it's a hidden gem, it is a hidden gem. I think people are starting to know more and more about it, but it truly is a hidden gem, and we actually love that, too.
And then you have like a surfing dog contest
here? We do. We do. I think we're going to have that this year. It was postponed, I believe, last year. But, we do have that, too. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So cool, right?
No, I'd love to watch. They actually love to surf.
Who knew, right?
I know. You'd think they'd be all freaked out and want to jump off, but no.
These are fierce competitors.
Yeah. Well, anything else that you want to add about the Anchor Inn that you want to share that's distinctive?
It truly is, and I take great pride in this property, but it really is different than any other place that you're going to go to. Mm-hmm. It does combine the whole VRBO Airbnb concept with the motel concept. Mm-hmm. So you're getting the feel of both, and it is fully stocked with everything. It's like a home away from home feel. Mm-hmm.
And Ella has just retired from United Airlines, so you know travel.
I do know travel, and I am a proud retiree of United Airlines after 29 years. Love it.
But you know what works and what should be in a hotel stay and what isn't and what's missing. Yeah.
So absolutely. So I traveled a lot on my business because my team was all across the country here. And there's things that kind of went in my head when we were putting things together, like things that scare me. Oh my God, was this changed here? I wonder if this was changed. I wonder what this is. And so I took all of that feeling, that anxiety, whatever it might be, and kind of put it into this property just to make it so that if I went here, I could stay very comfortably.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, anything else you want to add?
We have a beautiful town.
And you're right down here.
Beautiful area.
Like 500 yards away, there's places to go, right?
So right across the street, exactly 500 yards away, there's Orange Theory. There's grocery stores. And then there's my favorite Soul Grind coffee, which I brought over for you. I love it because it's like, no, people that come here, even if they took Uber here, they do not have to go far to get what they need.
You could walk anywhere.
Anywhere.
Including the beach.
Including the beach. 5 minutes to the beach. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes to the grocery store right here. 2 minutes to the coffee place, Mexican, the brewery. Everything is within walking distance. And that's what makes it super cool.
And yet, you have the sense of being on the edge of a forest.
Right.
Literally, out my back door, there's a pine forest.
It is actually 11 acres of like bare land, and it actually leads to a trail to the Pedro Point Headlands. Like, we are the entryway to the Pedro Point Headlands, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You should take a walk there.
So if somebody wants to learn more about the Anchor Inn and your world, where would you direct them?
You can always go to the website.
Right, which is?
AnchorInHotels.com. And if you want any more information, call the phone number and I will be the one to answer it and give you any information that you need.
That's because you're retired.
That's because I'm retired.
Ella Patel, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This has been great. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Pacifica, California. We'll see you here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.